What is heaven like? Well, as Trevor has said, there are many foolish things that are said about heaven. And some of them are said by very clever people. So you can't always trust what some of these clever people say. So this is what one man said. He was known as one of the big three in science fiction. He was a very famous scientist. "I don't believe in an afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse." Now, when famous people like that talk like that, you can be sure that they talk like that because they don't want to believe. Even if you showed them all the evidence about Jesus, the evidence about his resurrection, the evidence about Christian faith, they still would not believe. They have made the decision, "I am not going to believe." But the second thing is, they haven't really looked to see what the Bible says about heaven. Asimov never came from heaven. So why should we believe anything that he says about heaven? And his idea of heaven isn't anywhere near what the Bible says about heaven. And I hope that by the end of the service, you'll realize that heaven is far from boring. It'll be the most wonderful place filled with life and joy and beauty and wonder. So don't always listen to what famous people say, because they don't actually know what they're talking about. We need somebody who has come from heaven or who lives in heaven to tell us about heaven. And God lives in heaven. And so he's told us in the Bible about heaven. And Jesus came from heaven. So we need to listen to him, what he tells us about heaven. Now, as I was thinking about how to describe heaven, I thought, okay, let's think about what is the best trip you have ever had, whether it's a holiday trip, or whether it's a school trip, or a work trip, the best place you've ever been to. And I've just got two places there. One on the left there is Lake Louise in Canada. We visited it a few years ago when our daughter was teaching in Canada, and we went into the Rockies. And it was the most wonderful holiday, and we enjoyed our time there. The other picture, anyone guess where that is from?
Stockholm.
Yes, I was thinking about putting a place, but I knew you wouldn't like that, so it's another city. It's Paris, and we've had some wonderful holidays in Paris, and that's the view looking out from Montmartre across Paris. Now, if you think about holiday, and there are three things I want to just look at as we think about holidays. First of all, looking forward to it. Secondly, planning and traveling there. And thirdly, enjoying it. What was it that you enjoyed about your holiday? So first of all, looking forward to it. Now, I had for many years longed to go to the Rockies. And when our daughter said, "I'm thinking of going as an exchange to Canada, where should I go?" And I said, "Well, I think you'd probably enjoy going to Alberta or British Columbia. That's very near the Rockies." So she ended up in Edmonton, and we were able to visit her and then go into the Rockies. But it's looking forward to it. And the Bible looks forward to heaven. The Bible is full of looking forward. So that, for instance, it tells us about a Redeemer coming. Right from the beginning of Genesis, It talks about somebody who's going to come and he's going to put things right. Things have been spoilt. Things have been ruined because of sin. And here, a Redeemer, a Savior is coming who's going to put things right. The Bible also talks about the kingdom of God. And in Psalm 72, we read about the king. In Daniel, we read about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is God's rule where there will be peace, there will be justice, there will be righteousness. And so the Bible is looking forward to that time when God will rule and all evil will be destroyed. It also talks about the day of the Lord. And so Isaiah and Amos and other places in the Old Testament talk about this special day, the day of the Lord, when God will judge, he will put away all that is wrong, but also he will bring salvation and everything will become new. And then it talks about the new heavens and the new earth. So that Isaiah 65 talks about this wonderful time when God will make everything new. And also in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, Paul tells us this, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." That's God's plan, to bring everything together under Jesus so that it's perfect. Everything is good and wonderful. Now that's wonderful to look forward to that day when God's rule will be enjoyed by everybody, when God's salvation will be seen in all its fullness. Okay, what about planning and traveling? Well, when you plan a trip, you want to make sure that you have the right clothes. So we had a holiday in Turkey, and we knew that we would be spending a lot of time on the beach. So it was essential to take swimming costume, because that's what you need when you go on the beach. But I also had a time in Siberia in the winter, and this wouldn't have been really the best thing to wear in Siberia, where it was minus 25. So I needed to have some special boots. And these boots are suitable when it gets down to minus 30. I haven't worn them since. But I needed to be prepared. So you get the right clothes so that you're prepared. Well, if we're going to heaven, we need to have the right clothes for heaven. And what are the right clothes? Well, Jesus told a parable in Matthew 22. He describes a wedding feast. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, wedding clothes were provided. But this man, maybe he was just proud. Maybe he was too busy, and he didn't bother about the wedding clothes. So what are the wedding clothes? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "God made him," that's Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So what happened when Jesus died on the cross? He took your sin and my sin. It's like he took your dirty clothes and my dirty clothes on himself. He was there wearing our dirty clothes. When you and I put our trust in Jesus, we receive his perfect clothing, his righteousness. He lived a perfect life. And so there's the beautiful exchange that takes place. He took my sin, I receive his righteousness. And that's the clothing that's needed for heaven, because heaven is a place of righteousness, where everything is perfect and right. And it's Jesus' righteousness that is the clothing I need. You also need, if you're going on holiday somewhere, you need tickets and a passport. I've got a very special passport here, and I know that many of you would love to have this passport. Swedish passport. But it won't get me to heaven. And the passport you have, whatever country you're from, it won't get you to heaven. Well, what's the passport we need to get to heaven? John tells us in John 1, verse 12 and 13, "Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Heaven is a place where God lives. And so if you're a child of God, you are then welcomed into heaven. And how do you become a child of God? By receiving Jesus, by trusting in Jesus. Paul also tells us in Philippians 3, verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." And so, if you're a citizen of heaven, you've received the passport to get into heaven. You're a child of God, and so you can go to heaven. Also, if you're traveling somewhere, you will probably need travel insurance, so that if something goes wrong, the money can be paid, so that you can get money back because things have gone wrong. Now, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get to the place. But we have travel insurance that guarantees we will get to heaven. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and 14, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." So our insurance is the Holy Spirit. When you trust in Jesus, you are stamped with the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in you, and he is the guarantee, he is the insurance that we're going to get to heaven. Now, when you're traveling, you need a guide and a map. You need a pilot, a driver, and Jesus is our guide. The Bible is our map. Okay, what about when you get to the place you're going to? Your favorite holiday, what was it that you enjoyed about it? What is it that we will enjoy about heaven? Well, it's the people. When you're going on holiday, it's the people you're with, your family, your friends, the people that you meet where you are and you get to know them. It's people that are important in making a place special. Well, who are the people that we're going to meet in heaven? First of all, it's God. God will be there. And it'll be the most wonderful thing to be with God forever. Revelation 21 and verse 2 tells us, or verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. All through the Bible, you will find that this is what the Bible talks about. God being our God, and we being his people. It comes again and again and again. And in heaven, we will realize the fullness, the completeness of that. Knowing God and enjoying his love forever. Also, we will be with Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you're part of the church, and the church is the bride of Christ. We will be with Christ forever. And so Revelation 21 talks about the bride being beautifully prepared for her husband. It's a relationship of love. When I went with three people from this church to Zambia, I enjoyed going back to Zambia. And I loved meeting the people that I knew from there. And I was wondering, am I going to be sad to be leaving, saying goodbye? This is where I've grown up, spent 40 years of my life here. Will I be sad now to leave? And I wasn't sad to leave, because back here was my wife, Marion, and our children. So I was looking forward to going home to be with them. Well, heaven is where we're going to meet with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you know God, the fullness of knowing God is what heaven is all about. If you enjoyed God's love for you, you'll enjoy it even more in heaven as you experience him being there. But also all God's people. So it'd be such a huge number of people, you can't count them. But also, when you go to a place on holiday, it's the place that you look at. Maybe it's like Lake Louise, just the beauty of nature all around you. Or maybe it's a place like Paris, where you have beautiful buildings and artists have done their work. I remember when we were in Paris, we went to a big home where many of Monet's paintings were. And I went through the corridors into a circular room. And as I stepped into the room and looked around, I was breathless. It was such a beautiful room, such beautiful paintings. So sometimes it's the beauty of what's been created. Well, what is heaven like? Well, first of all, when you read Revelation 21 and 22, heaven and earth are one and the same. There's no separation. I talked to you 2 weeks ago about, gave you a parable of a builder who built two houses together. And he lived in one, and he let out the other two tenants who abused the house. And I said the day would come when the builder would remove the wall between the two. Well, heaven is like that. God will remove the wall between heaven and earth. So the new heavens and the new earth are all one and the same. Heaven and earth are one and the same. No separation. This is where God lives among his people. When you read Revelation 21 and 22 and compare it with Genesis 1 and 2, in Genesis 1 and 2, it's a garden. It's a beautiful garden. Revelation 22, it's a garden city. So that it's even more beautiful than Genesis 1 and 2. Just have a look at Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In Genesis, you've got the tree of life. Here, you've got the tree of life on both sides. Now, how can you have a tree on both sides? Well, it's picture language. It's trying to describe to you fullness of life. 12 crops in the year. It's trying to describe something that we can't understand, but using language that we can understand. Here is fullness of life in the Garden City. It's also a holy of holies. Trevor showed us a picture of a cube. When you read the description of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, it's a cube. And when you look at the description of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and the temple, it was a cube. So what's happened is that Holy of Holies was where God came among the people. Now, the whole new earth is the place where God comes and lives among his people. So that it's not just one little place, but it's the whole of creation. And you could say even that the Garden of Eden was like a Holy of Holies. This is where God would come and meet with them. But there was still the rest of the earth that they had to go out from the Garden of Eden. Now, everything is the Holy of Holies. This is where God dwells. That's why there's no need for a temple. Because it's all become a temple where God lives. There's indescribable beauty. When you read Revelation 21 and you read about all the precious stones and the gold, that's picture language trying to describe something which cannot be described. You take the most beautiful things in the world and you use it to try and describe what heaven is like. It's just a place of beauty. The most wonderful place of beauty. It's also a place where there will be treasures, cultural treasures brought into it. So Revelation 21 and 24 and 26. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Heaven will be a place where there will be much culture and music and art, and the best that is produced in this world will be part of heaven. But all that is twisted will be taken away. It's as if it's gone through fire. It's been refined and now is perfect. So that's why we enjoy beautiful things that people create. And I believe what those verses are telling us is that they will become part of heaven. Well, what's missing in heaven? Well, Revelation tells us death and pain and suffering and tears and sin. All of those are missing from heaven. So, are you ready for heaven? Do you know God now? You see, now is the time to get to know God and enjoy a relationship, a wonderful relationship with God, because heaven is all about enjoying God. Do you have the right clothes? They are given freely, but they cost Jesus everything. Are you preparing for heaven? Are you living now the life that will be lived in heaven so that you live at peace with others? You want to live in the right way. You want to show mercy and justice now. Are you helping others to go to heaven? Do you want to put right what is wrong in our world, whether it's through giving to help the work in Nepal, or whether it's being involved in the community. You see, politics, charity work, social action is very important, because it's looking what's wrong and how can we put it right. So that's why it's important. We should vote in the week that is coming. And are you growing in your love for God and others? Because heaven is a place of love. C.S. Lewis wrote some wonderful books for children and for adults who are children. The Narnia series is a wonderful series, and the last one is called The Last Battle, and it gives a wonderful description of the new creation that the children see for the first time. They were discussing whether it looks like the land of Narnia or not, and Lucy says, "Those hills, the nice woody ones and the blue ones behind, aren't they very like the southern border of Narnia?" "Like?" cried Edmund. "Why, they're exactly like." "And yet they're not like," said Lucy. "They're different. They have more colors on them, and they look farther away than I remembered, and they're more like the real thing," said the Lord Diggory. You see, heaven is a real place. The present earth is a real place that we can enjoy, but heaven is the real thing. Many of you know the story of Johnny, who was paralyzed through a diving accident. And she was once meeting up with Rick, who was also paralyzed. And she was talking to him about heaven. And she said to him that she used to think of heaven as a boring place where everyone wore angel costumes. But then she went on, "Since I lost the use of my body, I've learned that one day I'm going to trade it in for a new one. No angel wings, just hands that work and feet that walk. Think of it, we'll be on our feet, running, walking, working, talking with Jesus." She describes Rick's reaction. "As I spoke, Rick began fluttering his eyelids up and down." That's all he could do, was flutter his eyelids. "And he fluttered them up and down as fast as he could. It was his way of expressing excitement, his way of smiling. His eyes blinked a shining testimony of his faith in God and his desire to go to be with him and receive a new body." Are you excited about heaven? Do you think about heaven? Does that impact the way you live today? Any questions?
Just at the end there, you were talking about this person who used to have the use of their arms and legs and then didn't. I look after kids who have never had, or I don't know how to explain it. Basically, they would have never had they will never have the opportunity to kind of give their lives to God because they're disabled. But will they have the chance to go to heaven, and will they get a new body as well?
It's a difficult question for me to answer, but I think I have some idea that God is gracious. He knows a person's situation. I do believe that babies who die, infants who die, go to be with God. I do believe that. And in the same way, somebody maybe who grows up, but their mental capacities, for whatever reason, haven't developed. I do believe that God cares for them, and they go to be with him. I also think that sometimes those of us who are capable to express in words our faith in Jesus, we need to do that. But there is somebody maybe who can't express in the same way a faith, and yet somehow they express a faith in God. I believe that God sees their heart. So although I don't have any verses in the Bible, I do believe God is gracious. But I think the challenge is for those of us who are capable, mentally and physically, and are able to respond, that's the challenge that comes to us. Are we ready? The question is, looking forward to heaven, how does that impact our living today? Well, I think it should impact every part of our life, so that it should impact my reading of the Bible. Because the Bible is telling me about God, and if God is the one I'm going to meet, then I'll want to read my Bible to find out the truth about God and what he's done. It'll influence my praying, because I'm talking with God. And if I'm going to meet with him, I want to talk more and more with him, so it should impact that. It should impact my going out to helping other people, telling them about Jesus, because I want more and more people to be there, to be part of it. I believe it should impact us thinking about our community. Lord Shaftesbury, who was in Parliament and was one of the leaders in the government, he was involved in doing so much to release children from having to go down chimneys and stop them being abused in the 19th century. And he said there was not 1 hour that went by that he did not think about heaven. So as he was thinking about heaven, it impacted what he did on earth. So if we think of heaven as a place of peace and justice and love and so on, well, that's how we should want to live now.